Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the special meeting of the Richardson Bay Regional Agency for July 25th. The Richardson Bay Regional Agency Board of Directors encourages a respectful dialogue that supports freedom of speech and values and diversity of opinion. The board, staff, and the public are expected to be polite and courteous and refrain from questioning the character or motives of others. Please help create an atmosphere of respect by not booing, whistling, or clapping, by adhering to speaking time limits, and by silencing your cell phone. Public comment is invited concerning each agendized item pursuant to the Brown Act. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Call the roll, please.
Board Member Wickham?
Here.
Board Member Sears?
Here.
Board Member Frazier?
Here.
Chair Winter?
Here. First item of business is the approval of the minutes of June 14th.
I'll move approval.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Second item of business is an informational item of the Community Outreach Subcommittee report and presentation regarding community efforts. Would anyone like to make a presentation?
I don't think we have anything to report.
Okay.
Yes? So you couldn't attend tonight. There's a couple of us that will speak just in general, but no, they use report. We're distributing the worksheets, which is
cool.
Okay.
Kate, do you want to say anything about the July 3rd meeting or anything? Or
what do we do?
I have said the Civic Center.
No? Go ahead and report. No, it's okay. Completely out of my mind. It's okay, like so too far. You go ahead and report it.
No, we did meet on July 3rd at the Civic Center with Kate Sears' office, myself, with a small group. And we had a very good discussion regarding, you know, eelgrass and potential looking at mooring fields and a variety of topics. Beth was there. I don't know if you have any more to report on, but I thought we kind of walked through. And this is our daily kind of coffees we have with the Mariners, just two members of the board who go out and sit down. We discuss items we have on the agenda and try to work out matters prior to our board meetings and have a line of communication to continue forward with it. So that's a start.
Thank you, Jim.
Is there any public comment? Well, after each item, you don't have to comment. It's not required.
Just a short one.
Thank you.
My name is Chad Carvey. Just a word as far as the Richardson Bay Special Language Association. We've received the Burgees. We are taking our Anchorage guidelines, which I think you've heard of the past, are more strict than the Coast Guard. It's a much higher level and higher standard that we've chosen for ourselves. And we're creating that into a bullet checkpoint kind of merit system so we can judge each boat in a more objective manner. So you're going to start seeing those Burgees flying in the next this next month. So it's kind of exciting, and a lot of work has gone into that. And I'll reserve another comment for later. Thank you.
Any further public comment? I think that we can just move on to the next item.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So next item is a follow-up to the actions of the board's April 2018 direction to direct staff to engage professional services to advise on location, mooring, types and techniques, capacity, and accessing the shore contingent on identifying a source of funds for these services. Deborah Britton.
Sure. Chair Winter, members of the board, as you indicated, on the April 5th meeting, the board gave some its initial direction on what you'd like to see happen towards the goal of a safe, healthy, and well-managed bay. In summary, this direction included requiring vessels be registered with Richardson Bay Regional Agency, that was local registration in addition to the state registration. They be securely moored. They be seaworthy and free of debris and excess materials and not pollute. And there are other potential requirements that were also identified at this time. Over the last 2 months, we've had some discussion as well as a work session at the last meeting to receive ideas from the community about what we would do to reach those directions from the board, specifically on the regarding placement of moorings. What do we need? What factors do we need to take into consideration on that question? Secondly, when we talk about vessels needing to be seaworthy and have other requirements, what exactly would those requirements look like? And generally other information that we need to get from other locations or how we would go about implementing this direction as we move forward. As a result of that, those two meetings where we discussed that, at this meeting, we're bringing to you some specific staff recommendations to follow through on the ideas that were received at the June 14th meeting. I would note that the list of ideas received last month's work session are attached to the staff report and were posted on our website with the opportunity for public comment. With respect to the first item, there was at the session of the work session that was about the mooring proposal, there were a lot of factors that had to do with the physical condition and environment of the bay that people felt that RBRA should take into consideration when thinking about the placement of moorings. So what we have proposed here is that the board authorize and direct staff to engage professional, independent advice from someone who could look at this through an environmental lens to advise on what are appropriate and inappropriate locations for moorings, what type of ground tackle or what type of technique or equipment should be used in the moorings, shore access, what should be taken into consideration when accessing the shore, and overall capacity for moorings on the bay. Is there a certain number that the board should take into consideration when looking at it from an environmental standpoint, looking at the conditions, the ecology, the wildlife, and other aquatic circumstances of Richardson Bay. So this would obviously be dependent on identifying a source of funds to perform the study. We have a couple ideas, but we first would like the board direction whether this is something you would like to pursue. The second area is revising the vessel requirements for the bay. And this is where the issue starting off with seaworthy comes in. And it's really looking at what are the physical conditions of the vessels themselves that should be required for being on Richardson Bay. Secondly, what are the risks, the hazardous materials, pollution, and debris risks that we can minimize through certain requirements for the vessels and behavior thereon on the vessels on the bay. Operability of the vessel, that the vessel is capable of operating. And while recognizing there's going to be minor temporary situations where something breaks, that's to be understood. But the overall requirement that if you're going to be on the bay and that your vessel needs to be operable. Again, registering locally. The next category is vessels that have had commercial registration, and this has come up most recently in Richardson Bay, where we had an old tugboat that was at risk of sinking, and because it had been used for commercial purposes, we were unable to use any state funding to abate that vessel. So the idea is that let's look at how we can put some limitations on vessels that have been formerly used for commercial purposes and are ineligible for state funding for addressing any concerns that arise from them as a way to limit their being on the bay. Next up is limiting the number of dinghies or skiffs or tenders or other such tie-ups per vessel. Obviously, every vessel needs to have a means of getting to shore, and so people, you know, use it, whether it's a kayak or a small motorboat or whatever it is, needing to access the shore. But in some cases, there can be multiple vessels tied up, and that can create some safety hazards as well as other concerns. The idea here is to have a requirement around how many of these you can have per vessel tied up, and the staff recommendation is thinking of it in terms of one per person, although no more than two per vessel as being a reasonable number to have tied up. And lastly, one of the issues that gets a lot of discussion is so-called storage vessels. And that's kind of a catch-all term for vessels that can be anywhere from being used actively for storage of materials and supplies, or they're being stored in the bay while the owner contemplates what they're going to do with the vessel. Maybe it's not operable. Maybe they're actively fixing it up. Maybe it's they store it there rather than paying for a slip. There can be all sorts of reasons why they're a vessel which, in non-bureaucratic language, I would call inactive vessels. I mean, they're not actively used, they're there. And that's been quite a bit of discussion around what do we do about that. So one approach would be for the board to indicate this evening your initial direction on the idea of one vessel per owner on the bay. So, you know, understand that each owner could have one vessel there, depending on what the program is, obviously, but multiple vessels would not be allowed. And by indicating this, giving some initial direction on this, it would help us to both craft the ordinances as well as start to get the word out to folks. Don't bring multiple vessels in the bay with the idea of selling them here, because really this is going to be a one vessel per owner situation. So this could also be something we could look at for if you have enforcement priorities in the coming months. We could also look at that in that through that lens as well. The last area of board direction to staff that we're proposing is that we look at other moorings in other locations. Obviously, these happen all over the world, and we have already obviously done some initial research from other mooring programs, but we would continue to dive deeper into those issues so we could advise you about issues ranging from the economics of it to how they're who owns the moorings, what the role of a potential partnership organizations like the Special Anchorage Association, and other issues that we just need to take into consideration with actively managing the moorings. The last recommended action is an item that came from Board Member Wickham at the last meeting, requesting that there be an item on this agenda to appoint a finance subcommittee to further explore implementation of the board's direction, looking at the financing of that. What was also discussed a little bit at the outreach meeting was looking at ways to help support folks who need some help in either getting their vessels in a situation to be acceptable, or that they need to find other arrangements, that they're trying to find some private funding. Could also be a task of the Finance Committee to help support the folks that have some financial issues around the implementation of the board direction. So what the recommendation is that this evening you designate two board members to work on that Finance Committee and along with staff. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. Beth, if I understand it correctly, engaged professional services would cover, I'm looking at your staff report on page 1, items 1A, I'm sorry, 1B and 1C. So we'd have one professional services to cover both of those.
Professional services would just cover the A.
Which would be the subset?
Environmental issues.
Okay.
And although I would say that as we look at other mooring programs, we may want to recommend we get some other kind of professional expertise for some other areas. But the initial recommendation is through the environmental area.
And would you have any sense on what the potential cost might be or how long it would take?
I don't have an idea how long it would take. I mean, I've done some checking around, and I kind of hate to throw in numbers because that becomes the number that potential consultants target as what they make their proposals at. But I think I'm optimistic it could be done for less than $50,000.
Okay. And then the last question, you're separating the I'll call occupied vessels from the storage vessels, right?
I'm not using the term occupied. I'm just calling it storage vessels, meaning they're not actively being used in some form or fashion.
Okay. When you say one vessel per owner, is that the vessel that's actively being used, or
any kind of vessel? In other words, if you for example, when there's a transition to moorings, if you have a mooring ball, you can have one vessel in Richardson Bay. In addition, I mean, you can have your skiffs, but one vessel permitted, and that's
And within the context of what you're presenting here is that there would be some number of mooring balls to be determined.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. And Beth, I want to follow up on that last issue of the one vessel per owner possibility. And, you know, as we've been talking about the storage boats, and I think really talking for a long time now about what some of the challenges are on the bay, to me, I've looked at the concept of storage boats from one of the categories here that you have specified, controls for hazardous materials, pollutants, and loose materials, really gets to environmental impact and safety issues, as well as, I guess, what some people might think of as visual blight. It's some of the vessels that are really just piled high with stuff that have caused concern. So are you using the suggestion of one boat per owner to try to get at some of those issues? Is that a proxy for trying to address some of the storage boats that may be our most challenging vessels, or is this a larger, broader idea that's intended to transition towards a mooring field that has not yet been really studied?
It's a little bit of, I would say, a little bit of both and other things, too. And one of the challenges we have is, like, during storms, if the boats that are, you know, not being attended to are a little more hazardous, it's hard for one owner to manage more than one vessel during a storm, for example. So that's one of the safety issues of having the owner having just one vessel to be managing when the conditions are not good. It also is an attempt to address the situation where we have incoming vessels coming in all the time, and some people are bringing them in with the intention of selling them here. But if they are not allowed to bring in more vessels because they already have one here, that also helps address the incoming vessel situation.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's helpful. That's all I had. Morning.
Jim, any other questions?
On this storage of vehicles, we might want to consider maybe if having in the ordinance the rules, like after 30 days, a boat is found in the water there and the person hasn't approached the harbor master to identify that boat and to provide proof that it's being utilized on a not being stored, that's kind of a trigger where we start looking at boats that come into the bay versus, you know, so basically like a car on a public property where, you know, 72 hours, we'll give them 30 days, and then they have to notify the harbor master. And if we don't get any kind of notification or whatever, we're going to consider it as a stored boat, not under the requirements here, but some kind of a guideline or a timeline for implementation. So, and I'd love to, at this point, get some feedback from members of the audience
exactly.
on these three items, too, to see whether or not, but that's...
Yeah, I wanted to also compliment you on this hierarchy. I think that it's really, really very, very useful. And one thing that we have not really mentioned is that the vessels have to be registered and operable and navigable. They have to be in sound condition. And these are different levels or ways that we can filter out the storage vessels that are excessive or abusing the anchorage.
Yeah, and if I could follow up that compliment, I meant to say, Beth, I think the staff report is incredibly helpful. You've really described each of these issues extremely well, and I appreciated the list of everybody's comments from the last workshop at the end. It's really a useful packet, and I hope everyone who's here tonight has had a chance to read it. And you said it was on the web page, so people can read it and comment further.
So at this point, if there's anyone in the public that would like to make a comment, can you set this up for 3 minutes?
Chad Carvey, just to make sure that there's another category of boats, so the anchor out boats, the storage boats you're talking about, but there is a small group of people who do not live on their boats, who have boats out there. And some of these are those beautiful boats. There's some really nice boats, vessels, people who maybe visit once a month or things like that and do sailing. So I think there has to be a small category for some vessels that people do not live on but are very, very nice, small kept.
Thank you. Joan? Thank you.
Sorry, I thought you.
Hi, I'm Joan Cox, Mayor of City of Sausalito, and I'm very encouraged to see that RBRA is considering draft ordinance amendments, and I wanted to invite you to consider adopting amendments that are part and parcel with the amendments that Sausalito adopted last year, because I think it would be helpful in our overall collaboration to treat some of these issues the same. And so what I've done is I've handed out to you a slide that came from a February presentation made by our police department to the City of Sausalito that lists the priorities, the high priorities and the lowest priorities. And the highest priorities are removal of marine debris first, then removal of unoccupied vessels used as storage next, then removal of unregistered vessels, and last, vessels occupied by persons who are a danger to themselves or others. The lowest priorities are occupied vessels that are licensed or registered and in possession of a waste disposal contract or utilizing similar form of service. I think by adopting parallel ordinances, it enhances our ability to collaborate with one another. And I do want to thank Chair Winter, Member Fraser, Executive Director Pollard for sitting down and meeting with the City of Sausalito to discuss some of these issues in which we all have a common interest, and we look forward to our next meeting. I did mention our recent meeting to Senator Mike McGuire and let him know that I was encouraging us to embark on parallel paths, and that should we decide to do so, we would be coming to him seeking more funding, and he encouraged us to do that. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Lewis Tenwinkel, member of the Special Anchorage Association. I don't know where the disconnect came there between the Richardson Bay Special Anchorage Association and what we've been putting together for the past year or so, and what she was speaking of, because it deals with the sewage registered boats. It deals with everything she just said. So I don't know where nobody was hearing that, but I'd like to throw that back out that we've already dealt with that problem or trying to deal with that problem. And I want to say about the study, one of the first times since 1984, five that I've heard anybody come up with an explanation of what's going on out there and how it works and a possible solution to it, So that's 84. Now we're in, 18, so a few years. And, very good. I really like the way you looked at it, the workshops, and you did a really good job. And you explained it the right way, I think. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
I'm Barbara Salzman. I'm representing the Marin Audubon Society. I would like to suggest a few things that should be added to this. I don't see any mention of enforcement or how that's going to take place. Maybe that's coming later, but it seems to me that since there is a very, no record at all of enforcement, that should be primary. I mean, you need to be actually demonstrating that you can enforce whatever standards and regulations you promulgate. The other thing that I think would be really helpful in proceeding is that there be some improved or some every month a report on what's going on out there. I mean, last month meeting, I was impressed that the information had to come from the anchorites themselves. And it seems to me that that's something staff should be doing. They should be presenting how many boats are there, in addition to how many boats they've removed and how many boats are left. And so I'd like to see that at every meeting. Thank you.
Oh, it says 30 seconds here.
Yeah,
I got 26.
That's all you got.
Can I take the Audubon Society's time? Is that all right? To add on to the 3 minutes? Thank you, Ms. Feldman and the board for RBRA and the staff and all the people that cared enough to show up here in Belvedere on very short notice. I'm a member of some tribes, as I think Ms. Feldman and Mr. Winter are, that do not ever tell anybody that they're being punished for not joining us. On the people who are outside of the tribes, let's say, or have not linked themselves together as the Christians and the Muslims and others have done to some extent, we only say that they have to follow the rules of Noahide. And those are the rules that are universal on murder and rape and thievery. All around the world, they're exactly the same. There's a couple others on idolatry and blasphemy, but of course, there's no way that we can decide what that is. We have a group of people who are living offshore. The Audubon Society, I'm sure, is very concerned with climate change. That is most affecting the fish and the birds, the seals and all of the animals on the bay. The anchor outs consume per capita much less plastic. They produce much less carbon output. They, as most people without a lot of money, are living much lighter on the land than the people with. So when we say enforcement, it's not according to this beautiful Torah that I'm looking at, that in no way can we be enforcing anything beyond major crimes on a very specific group of people. That is the essence of discrimination. Our Constitution says we all have equal protection under the laws. That's the 14th Amendment. So I'm going to humbly request that the board and the people in the audience understand as best they can that the anchor outs do not have a vote. The vote was taken away when a mailbox was taken away at Galilee. They don't have a voice on this board as far as Sausalito goes. They are often living without cash of any kind, completely destitute. These are the people that God cares about the most, not the Israelites only. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Hello, my name's Ann Levin from Tiburon. Barbara and I actually both attended a meeting that was called the Abandoned Vessels Work Group. There was a presentation, excellent presentation, by the executive director of the Richardson Bay Regional Authority, and there was very interesting commentary back from the various officials from other jurisdictions that have been dealing with problems with both abandoned and derelict vessels. One of their messages was that they would be willing to assist RBRA in enforcement of requirements such as registration, insurance, and seaworthiness. And the other overarching comment was that because of a lack of enforcement in Richardson Bay, the issues that they have resolved in areas like Bethel Island, the Delta, Oakland, have simply moved to Richardson Bay so that it has become a dumping ground for derelict vessels because of the lack of enforcement. I don't want to take up too much time with a detailed report of which agency said which, but since your executive director was at the meeting, I think that the board should get a more detailed report on that meeting and the resources that are available for enforcement. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
Is this the only public comment time?
No, there will be other opportunities.
Yes, Douglas Storms. I'd like to continue to thank the board members and Beth and Bill for working this problem. It's a challenge to everyone involved, to the people close, to the people that live anchored out, that work out there, that play out there, to the law enforcement, to the elected representatives that have to deal with this Kabbalah. And it is a Kabbalah because it's quite multifaceted, multi-jurisdictional, different funding, different agencies, different laws, different regulations. My encouragement would be to, and I've said this ever since the beginning, is to work with the community, with the Mariners. We're, I think, your greatest asset to deal with the problem, because nobody can deal with it like Louis Tenwinkle can, or different people that have been out there, that they are the greatest asset to be able to resolve this working together. One last comment. You're wrestling with a number, and we've wrestled with a number. How many boats can fit in Richardson Bay? How many jelly beans can you jam into a jar? And I think the approach maybe, and I've suggested this before and I'll repeat it, is look at historically how the boats have been, what type of boats. Are they commercial? Are they pleasure boats? Are they cruisers? Are they liveaboards? Are they storage boats? Are they boats that are lived on by maritime workers? And so evaluate and learn from the past, and that data is available for historically, what are the percentages? You know, and historically, the way that it has been used, try to keep those categories, because you're not going to want to throw out a cruiser from Canada, nor a commercial vessel, you know, that is providing a service. And many people love the sailboats and the whole ambiance. That's a part of Sausalito historically. So the Richardson Bay Special Anchorage Association, they're willing to work with the law enforcement, with the elected representatives. Unfortunately, Alden isn't here. He had a family emergency. But we're with you. We need to solve it together. And I think we can. I know we can.
Thank you. Is there any other one that would like to address the board? If not, then we'll bring this back. Any comments? None? So,
The only thing I was going to say on an enforcement issue, I believe, you know, on vehicle registration, we're still enforcing boats that aren't registered. We can't, if you can, is that what's happening? I mean, I don't think there's any direction from the board here that we have not told the Sheriff's Department to enforce registration, correct?
Right.
So, I mean, because these priorities that Sausalito presented to us are very similar to what we agreed on about 8 months ago. We're still working on it, but we're trying to develop the guidelines to then go into the enforcement mode. So that's what we're kind of, we understand about enforcement, Barbara, and it's coming, but it's, you know, this first step is that once everyone agrees to it, they all know what the rules are that we were establishing to move forward, and then we'll discuss it. But I just want to say, yeah, okay, thank you for reminding us. We keep reminding us on that.
Bill, you're still abating boats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that has not stopped.
Right, and we do get the monthly reports about the boat abatement when we look at our budget issues. So just concurring on all that. And I do want to, for those of you who have read the staff report, you'll see the prominent role that the collaboration and the working together with the Special Anchorage Association plays in this staff report. But I wanted to just sort of emphasize with everyone that, for example, the summary of potential added requirements, all of which I think are very helpful, are drawn from various sources, including the safety criteria of the Special Anchorage Association and information from other anchorages. And so I think, to me, this has really been a very positive and informative and hopefully productive process because of the number of public workshops we've had, and because of the various sources of data that that you have incorporated, Beth, and that we've all had an advantage of, and we're going to keep. And then the goal here, as I read it, of what you're suggesting tonight, is to continue soliciting information from a variety of sources to make sure that we're as thoughtful as we can be and that we are working collaboratively with the Special Anchorage Association. And we did see at our July meeting the Burgee, that is really fantastic, and I'm hoping that everybody thinks that Burgee looks so great that they are incentivized to really make sure that they are on vessels that they have improved so that they can meet the requirements, safety and environmental hazard requirements. So I'm optimistic as we're moving forward here. And Beth, maybe you could just summarize for us briefly what it is exactly that you're asking us to take action on tonight, because there's a lot of information on the report.
Sure. What I would like is direction on whether to pursue engaging professional services to advise on location and moorings, type and technique, capacity, access to the shore, in light of environmental conditions and physical conditions, contingent upon finding some funding for that. So that would be number one. If you want to take these separately, that might be easier to do.
Yeah, so we could go to next steps then.
Or I could keep going. The other direction that I'm looking for is directing us to draft amendments to your ordinances that would incorporate some additional requirements that cover these areas of safety, seaworthiness, vessel condition, hazardous materials, operability, require local registration. For the ones that may be a little more newer that there hasn't been as much discussion on, but former commercial vessels like tugboats that come in being used for recreational purposes rather than commercial purposes, would you like us to look into ways that those could be regulated? Regulating the number of skiffs per vessel, having a cap on how many. Would you like us to look at incorporating that? And then the other one that's probably the toughest one for a variety of levels, both in terms of trying to come up with language as well as making sure we have sensitive policy direction, is how do we make sure that we can keep vessels from coming into the bay that are just there because they can, as opposed to being there because someone is actively using them. And then lastly, we would be doing this anyway, but I did form it as a direct staff, which is continue to collect information about other mooring areas to advise the board on how we would manage a new program. And then I think I would recommend you take the Finance Committee as a whole separate motion. Mm-hmm. In other words, have two motions.
Mm-hmm. And then with respect to bullet point number two, I would like to see us coordinate our amendments and ordinances to basically be in lockstep with the waterfront management plan priorities that were presented tonight by the City of Sausalito.
And I wanted to thank Mayor Cox for being here tonight and giving us this slide. And I do think it's the case that what's on this slide in terms of Sausalito's highest priorities and lowest priorities dovetail nicely with what we've been discussing and what's in the staff report tonight. So I think we have an evolution of an alignment here that's terrific.
Are the stars in line?
The stars seem to be aligning.
It's Shark Week.
And I do think on the draft ordinance amendments, I support moving forward with the recommendations of staff. I do think on the draft ordinance amendments, it's going to take some time and thought and review. Once you see things in print, it's never quite the same as the concepts that I think most people are comfortable having in those ordinance requirements. And I know you had indicated the earliest tentative date for a first reading would be October. I think that's a good idea, with the acknowledgement that a second reading might not follow quickly thereafter, because we may need to amend that first draft we consider in October. But just with that process caveat in mind, I'm comfortable with what's being suggested.
I might offer one just thought, and maybe it's here and I just don't see it. But certainly with the draft ordinance, that we need to, some language about enforcement. Because I, you know, let's assume that we move forward with the first reading and we get past that and we have a work through any hiccups that might be there or any misunderstandings or changes. And it's great that we pass an ordinance, but if we haven't at the same time thought about, okay, how are we going to enforce it, it's not as strong as we'd like it to be. So I do think we should incorporate something in there that links enforcement to anything that we want to bring forward in a meaningful way.
So,
okay.
A motion?
So I would move the first three items on our next step list, which is to seek funding to conduct the mooring study and consultants capable of performing that work, draft ordinance amendments to incorporate the new requirements for vessels on Richardson Bay as described in our staff report and attached materials. And number three, continue the ongoing research into moorings and other locations. We have a lot to learn from what's been happening elsewhere.
And before we get a second, could I ask that we add that bullet point about enforcements?
Yes.
And add it to what?
So that would be part of the ordinance amendments.
Yes.
And that's fine.
Well, in the ordinance, Beth, we have to show the penalty. I mean, so we either have to tie into a county or we have to come up with our own penalty.
Exactly.
Fines or whatever, so that has to be part of the enforcement.
It does have to be ordinance. Ordinances are not self-implementing, so it would have
to
be.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? And we'll vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Then next would be bullet point number four. Have a motion.
That was our finance subcommittee.
Ad hoc.
An ad hoc finance subcommittee. I like the concept. Have we fingered who we think will serve on that ad hoc finance subcommittee?
Well, I would volunteer.
I'm in favor of the concept. You want me to make a motion? Okay. So I would move that we also convene a meeting of the soon-to-be-formed ad hoc finance subcommittee.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
And who's on it?
Well,
that part we haven't taken step yet.
Yeah.
But we think Marty's going to be.
Ad and hoc.
Yeah, ad and hoc. And who has the money?
Ad and hoc.
So rolling right along. Item four on our agenda is resolution number 718 supporting AB 2441, state funding to abate abandoned commercial vessels in the Delta counties. The staff recommendation is to approve this. Do we have a staff report?
Yes. This was a legislation that's sponsored by Assemblymember Frazier, who's from the Delta counties. And he has actually done quite a bit of work on the issue of abandoned vessels because it is such a front and center issue on the Delta. And his current bill is to have a program to provide some funding for the abatement of commercial vessels or formerly commercial vessels that are in the Delta. And although it doesn't extend to Richardson Bay, it is seen by agencies, the staff of agencies like Richardson Bay, as a step in a good direction to start to have the state recognize some that this is an issue of statewide importance. The particular source of funding for the Delta program is coming from Lands Commission leases in the Delta, so it's a little bit specialized, so there really isn't an opportunity to extend it broader. But the recommendation is that the board indicated support for this legislation to show the state that there is broader interest in the concern about the abatement of funds for the abatement of commercial vessels that are in danger of sinking, and which would obviously in turn cause more environmental damage and be costly to the local agencies like Richardson Bay Regional Agency. The recommendation is you approve the resolution and then authorize staff to send it off to the appropriate officials.
And Beth, I just want to note, I think, as you know in the staff report, Chair Winter has already sent out a letter to our Senator Mike McGuire indicating support for this legislation, and so the goal of following that up with a resolution is just to make it more official,
right, official
from the board as a whole, sort of a boots and suspenders or belt and suspenders, whatever that phrase is, along with the letter that was already sent. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll move approval of this item.
I want to have public comment.
Yes.
That's always a good idea.
We do need public comment. Would anyone like to address this issue?
Yes.
Oh. Thank you.
We're talking about abatement of vessels. For the people who know, have a little history of RBRA, mainly Louie and Doug and
commercial.
Probably the people up there, I don't know if the Audubon Society has studied this much, that was one of the big reasons, if not the main motivation, for the forming of RBRA. Right now, almost all of the money that is spent on RBRA is used for enforcement. Abatement that includes, lately, there have been 6 tickets on one boat, and this person is an interesting person whose boat the tickets are on. The tickets are for not having a permit from the chief of police, who's sitting there in the corner. As far as I know, and the chief can correct me if I'm mistaken on this fact, there has never been, and there are not plans for any permits given on Richardson Bay. I'm concerned about the morale of the folks out there, their emotions, their mood, their feelings. If we talk about enforcement only, and if somebody has some money involved in that as well, directly or indirectly, that is very, very troubling. At the moment, I have in my hand a grand jury report. I don't know if any of you have read this. Every town in Marin County has been required to respond to this. It's called Homelessness in Marin. The last count was 1,176 counted people. Of course, that's not a complete count. $20 million was given last year and this year, $10 million from the county, $10 million federal matching funds to deal with homelessness. How are they going to do that? Well, for the counted people, that could be the average price, market price of a one-bedroom apartment in Marin County. It's $22,000 per houseless person. How is it being spent? It's being spent for case management, to hire I don't know how many people, to file I don't know how many reports about this, to count, to diagram, to put red marks or green marks, to have a green area or a black area for the most vulnerable people in Marin County. If our government is going to spend most of its money on enabling the creation of pollution and climate change, on punishment and enforcement, and not on helping people, I think it's time to question our government very, very firmly. So that's why I'm here. If anybody wants to read this report, I've got it that hasn't done it yet.
Hi, Lewis Tenwinkle again.
Hey, Lewis, is this about the resolution?
Yes, it's about...
we're trying to adopt. That's what we're trying to get public input on.
Oh, yeah, for
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
For sure. Well, in the 70s and so, I've housed a lot of people. I've given them boats, and, you know, there's still a couple out there that still... They don't have the same boats, but they're anchor outs and so on. the homeless issue is, you know, a big deal, and that's where a lot of people ended up. Out there, you know, we don't have very much, especially right here in Tiburon, Mill Valley, Belvedere. I mean, the cost is so high we don't live here anymore, except for basically on the anchorage for me, anyway. You know, and over here and Belvedere, Tiburon, it's just out of the question. You know, the prices are just way too high. What I was trying to get to was, I'm losing my thought on it, but on the resolution, the working tugboats and stuff like that, you know, that's the end of a complete era. Here, stop beeping me there. Definitely going to derail my ass here. Anyway, the working tugboats or fishing boats or whatever is what it all used to be about, the herring and all that. The RBRA, and I've come through this before 5 or 6 times over the years, and, you know, I say it and it's not listened to. Maybe it'll be heard this time. The RBRA was formed back with Supervisor Rao Rambrew, and it was done for a commercial project, which was Strawberry Spit. Okay, he raised grade 5 feet on the spit illegally. Being the supervisor, he had to pull him and Mario Ballesteri. Okay, basically the bay, all the Audubon spots out there is private property owned by private people. It's not, it's no, it's now it's, everybody knows this, but it's still, it's private property. People pay property tax on it and that. The supervisor used the anchor outs as a big smoke screen at the time for his development there on the spit, you know, with his wonderful giving of a Rambrew Island. Well, that's just because they couldn't build anymore there. There were supposed to be 2 to 3 family dwellings on what has now got 86 houses on it. Okay, it was a lot of money for the county and stuff, so I'm sure it went well, you know. But that's why the RBRA was formed, I'm pretty sure. And back to the tugboats and stuff. Yeah, basically the last registered owner should be the one that has to foot the bill. It's taking away any kind of commercial outfit whatsoever by saying you can't bring a commercial boat in to the bay. And revive it, use it for people that don't have a resource for parking a boat, you know, like a 100-foot tugboat, a 50-foot tugboat. It's going to be, you know, a couple $1,000s a month to park it anywhere, and there's no place to park it in Sausalito or Belvedere or anywhere around here. It's just a problem you guys have. They used to park the military ships here in the bay, right out in front here, hundreds of foot ships. They brought lumber schooners. They've had all sorts of ships in the bay, big boats. And to limit saying that you can't bring a commercial vessel in the bay, that means, you know, no more fishing boats in the bay, and that, which the bay was full of forever, and now it's not. You know, it's completely sterilized of it, and there is no more working waterfront. Okay, we'd like to see it again, but it's not happening. You've ran it out. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment?
Ann Libin, I just wanted to say that from the Abandoned Vessel Work Group meeting, I think that if the RBRA is considering calling on the assistance of some of the other jurisdictions when it comes to enforcement, it would be a good idea for RBRA to support them in a problem that they have in the Delta, which is they need funding to deal with abandoned commercial vessels where the last registered owner is impecunious or has disappeared or declared bankruptcy. They have a problem. I think it would be good for RBRA to stand up and support them so that we have some ability to go back and say, when you needed us, you could count on us, and now we would like some help from you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Bring it back to the board.
Yeah, and I did just want to clarify that the resolution we're being asked to approve is really focused on a bill that's focused on abandoned commercial vessels. So working boats would not be precluded under this legislation. And with that clarification, I'd be happy to move approval of the resolution.
I wanted to make one comment first.
Please.
And that is, I think that we should send some sort of a letter of thanks to Mosley and his dredging company for his assistance in abating that abandoned tugboat. it's my understanding that they say this a lot.
You bet. Absolutely.
because we had no way of dealing with that.
Okay, I second Board Member Sears' motion on the resolution to adopt.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 5, open time for public expression. Does anyone have any other items that they would like to discuss? Great.
Before my time starts, somebody just brought a virgin. Can I just show it really quick before
that'd be great.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So, this is a two-sided birdie. And this was began in a discussion with Chief Rohrbacher a couple of years ago, I think, actually. And all of us in Anchorage understand that it has no legal standing. However, it is an indication. And if you'll notice, each we just paid $800 for these. Each one is numbered. So this is number 3. So everyone is exclusive number 2 a vessel. They can't be passed around and put on another boat. And if you see this flying, it means the boat has passed a above Coast Guard level standard. No sewage, all trash taken care of, all the levels of safety, the mooring, anchoring, and everything. So that this is going to be as exciting. You'll see these in the next couple of months. We're doing more and more inspections. So and they are $32 for those who can afford it, and any anchor outs who cannot afford it, we have a fund to cover them so that the money is not going to be the issue. Just have to have your boat safe.
Thank you.
My name is Chad Carvey, school principal for 29 years. I'm a benefit auctioneer specialist raising money for nonprofits. My wife and I are setting sail on a 10-year circumnavigation voyage next June, 11 months away. We're very excited. Huge kudos for RBRA for the direction that you're heading from many of us who are out of the bay. One thing I wanted to say for the list of vessels that are out there that we need to add is the transient vessels in transit. For the economy of Sausalito, for the saltiness of our anchorage, we must reserve some moorings that are kept open for vessels that are passing, whether it's a week or a month. This is the place to stop as you go around the world. We must reserve some nice places for those folks. In regards to Mayor Cox, we are so thankful that the getting rid of the anchor outs has been put lower on the priority. But it is not enough for us. Just like RBRA has done, where they've said we have a right to live on our boats. People can, if they get their act together, live on their boats safely. We need Sausalito to do that. And before you guys come together, I think that needs to be decided, that Sausalito says that you have a right to live on your boat as long as all these things are taken care of. For the rest, as a school principal, I was known for being transparent and clear to my parents, and they love that. Let me just say this. The war has got to stop. 30 years or more of fighting. And let me tell you what, our anchorage would be beautiful and organized if it were not for one thing, and that is those groups who stand intractably to only get rid of us. That is what has held back the improvement and beauty of our anchorage, and that is what's going to hold back the RBRA if groups like my beloved Audubon, BCDC, cannot say that if we get our stuff together, we can meet in the middle and people can live on their boats if they get their acts together. So talking about the Audubon Society is like having a disagreement with a beloved friend. It's very, very frustrating. But that is what is holding us back. The big question that is we are awaiting from the Audubon Society is that, is eelgrass just a means to get rid of the anchor outs, or is it an actual thing that they care about? Because if they cared about the eelgrass, then all these mitigation efforts, which would make our impact almost zero in eelgrass, if that goes away, do you still want us gone? If the answer is no, we would agree to have you live, then great, let's work on this eelgrass issue. But if not, it's just a method to get us off the bay, and that's not acceptable. We could solve this tomorrow if we stop the fighting, stop the war. Aren't we tired of this war? And come together. Thank you.
Anyone else? Barbara?
My name is Thomas Allsworth Steele. And I'd like to say a few more words.
Shoot away.
About that, huh?
Yeah. Too close. Is that? No?
It's something to do
with
the position.
Is this one? It just started. It was okay.
Oh.
Have you fixed it?
Okay, I wanted to say a few more words about the abandoned vessel meeting that Ann and I went to. I thought that both staff were there. I thought they might make a presentation, but they hadn't planned to. First of all, it was a meeting that was held by the State Lands Commission. It was attended by many agencies, East Bay Regional Parks, Contra Costa, and other public enforcement agencies. Fish and Wildlife Department, NOAA, State Lands Commission, and lots of private organizations. I think there were 15 or 18 people in the room. The staff made a brief presentation, and then there were they went around the room and had lots of comments. Without exception, all of the commenters encouraged enforcement to take place. They are doing it. And they are finding that the situation at Richardson Bay is impeding their efforts to enforce around the bay. And I found that shocking, frankly. I thought this was a local problem. It isn't. They described just the week before, and they do this all the time, apparently. They come and they enforce, get people out of their places, and they all come here. Just the week before, they had found a person that they recognized, and this is not uncommon, who had left a marina or something in Contra Costa County and came to Richardson Bay, and there he was with his sort of junk boat, and nobody was doing anything. So I really find this something that you need to take into consideration, the impact that you are having in allowing these boats on the rest of the bay. It's not just here. So I would encourage you to continue and to establish some better enforcement, take advantage of their offer to have help come here to help with enforcement. We have always supported, I've said this a number of times here, getting help for people that need help, whether it's for housing or whether it's mental health. Lots of people don't need it. They don't have to live on the bay. They can afford to live elsewhere. But you need to have some better enforcement so to protect not only Richardson Bay, but actually the whole bay. Mostly the Delta. I don't know that there's so much in the South Bay. So that's what we urge you to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Thank you. Please.
Okay, so I'm going to speak directly to I think now three of my Yidolas, Jewish, especially the Levin, who was a member of a tribe called the Levites. The Levites, by Israelite law, are required to have no portion, Ms. Levin, no portion.
You need to direct your comments.
They're not
to
allowed
the chair.
To own land the same way that everybody else does.
Jeff, you need to address your comments.
I'm okay.
Seriously, you do.
I'll address it to especially Marty Winter. I'm not saying that Americans have to buy into this, but the Holy Torah has been taken by the American government and used as a basis for many of its laws. And much of what we're saying is a reiteration or a twisting of it. So I'm going to talk about the Levins. No portion. They do not own land the same way that everybody else does. This never ends. We were all alive, it says in the portion for this week, va'atchanan, which means a pleading, which is what we're doing as members of the Anchorage. We're pleading. This is specifically about Moses not wanting to die, wanting to go into the promised land. But he is not a perfect cat, as we all know. His meow and his claws were very sharp. So he was not allowed to go into the promised land. For the Levites to help me and the other Jewish people go into the promised land, not only must they not own real estate the same way, they must not have an inheritance, which basically means they don't use the money system the same way. If the Israelites are being given a salary from Audubon, specifically to come against the anchor outs, along with the many other people in line to do that, that is extremely troubling to me as an Israelite. I'm going to speak a little bit about what Chad said. He said the problem is the enforcement. Marty might know this. My two Yidolas over there might know it. We just passed The bad news. It was called Tisha B'Av. On the 9th of Av, our months begin with the new moon. That day, the temple fell to the Babylonians and to the Romans. What almost all the rabbis will say, it was not that the Babylonians were strong, and they were. It wasn't that the Roman legions were tough, and they are, and were. It was that the Israelites could not get along within their own tribes. We had the Zealots, the Pharisees, the Essenes, the Sadducees. It's sad, you see. They were the ones who cooperated most with the Romans. And they became very rich from their cooperation. We are never to come directly against our brother Esau, who is the ancestor of all of the empires. Whether we choose to see the USA as being an empire like the Babylonians or the Assyrians, or the many other empires that have been in the world, that's up to us. That's our thought. But we never come directly against them. We're not asking to do that now. We're asking, pleading for enough space to have a viable culture, and that culture especially includes work. There's no fish, there's no bird, and there's no seal that is out of work, that doesn't have a job. The idea that there are people on the Anchorage that do not have a job, and sometimes they feel frustrated when they even go for a dishwasher job and they're tagged as an anchor out and they can't get that. Sometimes they're frustrated because they do a community garden, for instance, and they work 3 months and then the garden is no more. They can't even plant a seed here. I don't know how many community gardens there are in Belvedere and Tiburon. I do know how many there are in Sausalito. There is one. It's very much in danger. So, and that's been my work for the last 3 months. Our pleading is for a culture, not only for our survival.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to make a comment? Mayor Cox? Can you get this thing to stop?
Hi. I heard a public comment at your meeting last month concerning the Richardson Bay Special Anchorage, and I wanted to share with you some research that the City of Sausalito requested from the U.S. Coast Guard and from the Judge Advocate General regarding the Richardson Bay Special Anchorage. There's some preconceived notion that because it's a special anchorage, there's an entitlement to anchor in the special anchorage. That's actually not true. So in April of 2018, this year, the Coast Guard completed a legal analysis regarding federal preemption inside Richardson Bay. And as a result of their analysis, they concluded that City of Sausalito Ordinance Number 1244, regulating inside of the Richardson Bay special anchorage, is not preempted by federal law, because the anchorage is a special anchorage under subpart A of 33 Code of Federal Regulations Part 110. Subpart A, special anchorages, relates only to navigation lights and sounds and not to the allowing of anchoring itself. And so the authority for that is 33 Code of Federal Regulations Section 110.1A, as well as the case Beveridge v. Lewis, 939 Fed 2nd, 859, 865. That's a 1991 case. So we just wanted to share that information with you because it did come from the Judge Advocate General in response to a request specifically from Sausalito to the U.S. Coast Guard. So this has been something that's been the subject of some misperception for years. And so, again, I want our regional agencies to be clear and aligned on what our response, rights and responsibilities are. So thanks.
Thank you very much. Sir? Thank you. No, you've had your time. Thank you.
Okay, so go on to...
I think... No, this is public comment and not a debate. So,
Douglas Storms, Sausalito.
Reset the clock.
Yeah, there's. I guess a response really does need to be made. 30 years ago, Alan Rambrew did have that real estate development, and Strawberry Lagoon was created, and that was the intentions of the RVRA, to eliminate the anchor routes so that property could be developed, seaside property could be developed to increase revenue. It was a big hat in his feather. And, boy, 30 years of wasted money. Millions of dollars have gone down the tube. Millions. People had great ideas. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it's just the same thing that is happening. The mayor of Sausalito, you know, you can, we weren't notified of that. I didn't know that, that effort was going on. So you just did an end around and said, oh, because this guy said, well, now we can eliminate anchoring in Sausalito. And because you can do it, RVRA can also do it. And it's not going to get you there. Chad, myself, many other people said, look, you're dealing with a Molotov cocktail. You're dealing with a very sensitive situation. Don't put gasoline on it. And what Chad had mentioned before about, we were there 2 years ago, and what happened? City of Sausalito decided to pull up moorings, okay? Moorings that were needed in the wintertime. Everything that we had worked on to get the support of the community pulled right out from underneath us. And the way of war, it's difficult. And so you have to be very, very careful, you know. I don't know what the answer is. You know, I really don't. All I know is you got to play. It's a game. You got to pony up. You got to be part of the process. You got to be willing to come to these meetings to be involved in the community. Because it is something to live for. Richardson Bay, there is no other place like it. You know, there's no other place in the world like it. So it's worthwhile to hang on to fight for, to preserve the historical use of the bay. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't pour flame onto a fire. Sorry about the end around there, Mayor.
Is there any other public comment?
I just wanted to suggest that the RBRA does need to consider, one, that Richardson Bay is a very special place. It's one of the few places in the entire San Francisco estuary system that supports an extensive eelgrass bed, which has important environmental impact, and anything that adversely impacts that is a problem. The other thing is that historically there were far fewer vessels anchored in Richardson Bay than there are now. We're up to around 200. At the time of the settlement agreement more than 30 years ago, there were fewer than 50. So the idea that it's up to either the city of Sausalito or the RBRA to tolerate the current impact on the environment of Richardson Bay is not a correct extension of what's been the historical use. The other thing is that there is certainly a problem of a lack of affordable housing in Marin County. There, the problem impacts the city of San Rafael. It has occasionally impacted open space on land. The open space on Richardson Bay, over which the RBRA has a public trust, should not be treated any differently. It may be that the most economic and humane method to handle this is to subsidize berths at marinas around Marin County, as opposed to having people anchored out. The current laws do not support long-term anchorettes.
Thank you. Anyone else like to comment? If not, we'll draw that to a close and go to staff comments. None. Board members, matters and or comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to add one comment, if I may.
Sure.
Being the newest member of this particular board, one of the things that I have been impressed with is the thoroughness of our executive director and the work that she's done, the collaboration that she's done with the community at large at Grants, as well as with staff and others within our community. And I'm also very proud of what the RBRA has done since I've been a member. They've started long before I got here, is the measured approach that taking in all of the decision-making that's going on. This is not a black-and-white situation. If the world were black and white, none of us would need to be here. That's why we're here. Things evolve, things change. And what was yesterday was yesterday. What's tomorrow is tomorrow. One of the things that we had the chance to do collectively is help carve out a better tomorrow. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're here. We don't have a simple answer. I don't think there's a silver bullet. But there certainly is an opportunity to do things better tomorrow than we've done in the past 30 years. And I think we ought to keep moving in that direction.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Who could top that?
Yeah, it's harder, tough act to follow. Bravo.
The only thing I'll say is, hey, since the last 7 months, we've had a lot of community outreach. And all these topics that you guys have brought up, we're quite aware of it, from enforcement to the environmental issues to the homelessness issues. I mean, it's not only RBB, but it's our communities within ourselves. Okay, so these are all issues. The big one is the financing part of it, because no matter what we do at the end of the day, it's going to cost money. But we're aware of it, and we're moving forward, and we're going to have darts thrown at us from both sides of the aisle as we go down this path, because no one's going to be happy. But at the end of the day, hopefully we come to a resolution that we can all live with it and move forward for the future. So I appreciate everyone's comment. Try to stay on point, but thank you very much.
And I want to thank everyone for their efforts as well and their comments, some on point and some off point. But I share with the rest of our board the sense that we're jointly heading towards a goal, and we're doing this logically, step by step, and we're getting there. And thank you all for your patience, and thank staff for their diligence and their hard work. So we have to adjourn now to a closed session.
I just want to announce the title of the closed session, in case there is any comment. Adjourned to closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, Public Employee Performance Evaluation, position as Executive Director.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Thanks.